Bradshaw. I would be Bradshaw, and that would be the WWE Hall of Famer, Oklahoma's favorite son, Mr. Gerald Briscoe. And this is a special edition of Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. It is best of the best, as we call it. We go down and we analyze. We watch along matches that are more iconic, are famous, are some of the greatest in wrestling history. And today we've got the King of the Death Match, Cactus Jack and Terry Funk, in the finals of the tournament 1995 in Japan, the Death Match Tournament. Here we go, Mr. Briscoe.
That's right, John. You know, those that have been watching along with us, those dozen or so people have been watching along with us. You know, you followed our little series here. It's basically a series of faces of Terry Funk. And that's really what we want to cover, is just the creativity and versatility of the great Terry Funk. So let's get into this thing, Josh. Josh is a great technician. We finally got somebody that knows what the hell they don't do it and lose tapes in the middle of
final match, anyway.
All right, here we go, John. Take it away.
Hey, this
set
is
it up. The final. What are we looking at? There's no commentary in this, so me and John's going to try our best to kind of fill in the gap. John, kind of what led into this match? This was a tournament final, right?
Yeah, this was a tournament final, and both the guys had wrestled twice earlier, so you'll see some remnants of blood on the guys and some scars on the guys already from the matches earlier. We just went over the semifinal match of Terry Funk and Tiger Jeet Singh, who was one of the biggest names in Japan for the 70s and 80s and early 90s. And this was the mid 90s. So it was still a very big name in Japan. And now you have the matchup that everybody wants. And that is Terry Funk versus Cactus Jack. And there's, I think, about 30, 35,000 people here for this tournament, and biggest tournament that they had put on.
That's right. And is this the beginning of the hardcore in Japan? Or I know this was the death match tournament, death match or whatever it was.
It was kind of the middle. So what you had was, you know, as you know very well, you know better than anybody, back when you just had Inoki and Baba, you had two big conglomerates. And then all of a sudden, all these other groups started splitting off. Some groups became more serious wrestling groups. Then Onita's group became, and in fact, they call Cactus Jack the American Onita because of his hardcore style, and got into the real hardcore matches. They had barbed wire matches. They had some of the craziest matches you've ever seen.
Yeah, and the thing about it, Onita, you know, he was a pretty damn fair worker, too, you know, in his day, too, before he went all hardcore. But, that, like you said, these guys have been beat up all day long, and, you know, I just cannot, to me, fathom being in a ring with ropes being barbed wire. You and I both grew up in the Southwest. We've been around that barbed wire. That's the most unforgiving stuff in the world, man. You even get 2 feet of it and it wants to rip you apart.
And there you have Terry Funk selling the barbed wire. And if you notice the very first of the match, Funk was throwing that jab at Foley's left eye. I don't know if Foley had juiced or just got busted open, but he opened up his eye with that jab. That's why you see him throwing those jabs so targeted at him that worked, that didn't look like wrestling punches. That right there is the same thing. He's busting open Foley.
That's what I saw when I first laid eyes on this thing and started going over it. I saw Terry laying those jabs in. I said, those don't look like working jabs to me. Then I saw a little piece with Mick kind of commentary, Katie, on it. And he said, Terry laid in those couple of jabs on me and must have met. But you never know when somebody's telling you that, you know.
Right. Yeah, you never know when somebody still tells you it was a hard lay or.
Now, this is a slab of barbed wire that Terry just carried in the middle of the fence. It's got those C2 explosives on it. So you saw how gingerly he was moving that stuff around. And I think around the 10-minute mark in this match, the entire ring is set to explode on them.
Yep, they've got a timer on the ring. I mean, this is one of the craziest matches you'll ever see if you've never seen a death match.
And this spot coming up right here, I mean, I don't care how you're trying to work this. This is got to be brutal.
Yeah.
No matter where you're touching, that barbed wire bites.
You know, you had learned a lot, or Bennis had learned a lot about, you know, I had a barbed wire steel cage match with a Big Show in Pittsburgh where he choke slammed me through the ring. And But the barbed wire, by then you'd realize she gimmicked it, you know, and it wasn't fake barbed wire. It's just the barbs that were toward the boys where you could work were bent. And so they were flat. They're not flat here.
No, they're not. That was before the days of Magic Man in the back there.
And you look at this. I mean, this is insane to me.
I've seen pictures of Mick's back, you know, after one of these matches and the puncture marks in his back and everything. I mean, this is something you just don't go and get in your hotel bed and say, oh, man, I feel great. You know, you got to have a staff with you to help you out here. But look at Terry. I mean, Terry's been through the rugged. We saw him and Jeet Singh last week, and Terry got the crap beat out of him there. But the versatility.
There it is right there, the first explosion.
To yeah, boom.
And that's little explosion going on. That's not gimmick. That's not a work.
And that Bob Harden all work. Look at him running around.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
And they stuck his shirt there. You see that shirt? By the way, I got one of those Funk You shirts, man. It's my pride and joy. I've never worn it. I had Terry give it to me, and I've never worn it since he gave it to me.
Terry Funk and I almost got in a fight one time at 6 o'clock in the morning because I topped off a gas tank in the car.
he was against that, wasn't he, man?
Oh, my goodness. He was so mad. I thought, I'm going to fight Terry Funk at 6 o'clock in the morning, return the rental car.
he had his little quirks about traveling in those cars, man.
He told me what a waste of money it was, that I should never do that, that it looked full anyway, and I couldn't believe it. I thought he was ribbing. Then I realized he was dead serious.
Here we go here. That's a lot of ass to try to double leg, a double arm there.
Oh.
If you're looking for star ratings on this match, I don't think we're going to get an awful lot of stars on this baby here.
I don't think we are either.
That was,
I mean, look at this. I mean, this is just crazy to me. You throw yourself into a legit barbed wire fence.
Yeah, look at that barbed wire by him, too. I mean, it hangs on that shirt there. Terry had been busted out by a sword or something that Tiger Jeet Singh was carrying around in an earlier match.
These guys
have gone through brutality all night long. I think this is the third match for each of them.
The hard part is Funk. He's older at this point. Yeah. You know how it is when you get older. This is crazy.
Well, Terry's crazy.
Yeah,
I don't Foley think ain't that's normal. Ever been disputed, man. And I think Foley's right there with him. I mean, they're the insane nuts. I mean, I love the business. I do anything for the business, but I ain't going to do no barbed wire match. Don't ask me to do a barbed wire match.
You know, they had at one point over there with Onita, they told me that they wanted one of the guys to touch another guy with a chainsaw.
I've heard that. Yeah, that you can't.
And they had just gotten crazier and crazier and crazier. And at some point, you know, it just becomes too much.
Well, that was the rib here in the States with all the guys. What are they going to do next? And that was the rib. They were going to get a chainsaw and cut somebody's arm off, you know. And obviously, that's what they actually wanted to do, basically.
That's right. They did.
That's the next step. Where do you go after this, though? I mean, really, I mean, you can't get back in a ring with no ropes or 2 out of 3disqualification. First one throws a punch, gets disqualified. I mean, you got to go somewhere from here. Just the philosophy of our business here.
Yeah, and I understand it. You know, it could be the big blow off, but this whole tournament was death matches. Yeah.
And I think, like you said, the Japanese people bought it, man. They what, 30,000 plus?
They did.
In this arena. So, man, it is these two guys and then the other guys that participated in it, man, they drew the crowd. How often are you going to get to see 8 men thrown in a barbed wire and get wrapped up in explosives and all that stuff?
With a ring exploding that can kill people. You know, I was so lucky because I was with one of the like hardcore wrestling groups with Kendo Nagasaki. You know, our guys were really stiff and really physical, but that was their style. We didn't do any of the hardcore stuff. A lot of chairs, a lot of chairs to the head.
Stiff chairs, too. Yeah. Well, it's different. I mean, yeah, it'd be a stiff match. I mean, and be, have a gimmick barbed wire and a fluorescent light bulb match. I mean, that's totally different philosophy there.
And this is a big deal, in especially in Japan, the Dory Funk spin and total.
Yeah, this was the hold. This was the Gaijin hold. There's Jed Ching coming in. He's the one that busted Terry's eye open before. Is he going to do it again? Oh, he's going for the throat. And Jeet Singh had reached his peak, like you said before. He was actually a global superstar. This guy was hot everywhere he went.
Yeah, and as I said before, Stan Hansen stole the energy of Jeet Singh. Wow. You know, he said he wanted to be like Jeet Singh, where he would come to the ring and nothing but action.
I did not know that, but you can't tell by hair Jeet Singh's action. I mean,
right.
He would reach this peak, sort of like Terry there, but not, a little bit more Terry. But you saw that explosive there. And like you said before, man, that's genuine C2 explosive. And there we go.
And, you know, I don't know how you even prepare for a match like this.
Yeah,
and,
I don't either. There's no place that you can research it, that's for sure.
And I'm not
I asked Mick Foley one time. I said, Mick, you know, when you have a match, even a steel cage match, you know, that they jumped off the damn top of the deck, at least you have something you can reference. There ain't nothing in our history that you can reference. Now there is this here, but, you know, beforehand, there was nothing out there to reference, so... And Mick told me we just kind of did things on the fly. We tried to protect each other the best we could, but it was impossible to totally protect each other. Terry, what a great salesman. And you're looking
he's
at
the best.
He was one of the top baby faces in the nation of Japan, too. And he was one of the top heels in the nation of Japan, too. This guy was so versatile and so tremendous in his work. All right. Right back into. I didn't have enough. We got one board left. Let's get our money's worth out.
And Terry and Dory were two of the first American baby faces, right?
Right. They were the first two that Japanese people first started cheering for, because there was so much respect for their style. You know, they come over against, you said, at one time it was Baba and Oki. They were tag teaming, and then it was Baba and Tenru, you know, and Baba and Teruda, I mean, and Oki, who were great, and they had such tremendous matches there. And as you know, working in Japan so many times, people, they respect your athletic ability, and they respect your work so much. It don't matter if you're from where you are. If they respect you, they're going to let you know about it. Look at that.
Here's the big finish.
There. Mick Foley's face is a crimson mask, ladies.
Oh.
Ooh, what juice. That reminds me of the days in the Cow Palace with you and that crazy Eddie Guerrero.
That's right.
You guys were about this brutal match without the prop, without the barbed wire. You had all the other props.
Right? That's right. We had all
that
the
other props. That was the only thing you was missing in that match.
At one point, Eddie said, good juice essay. I said, the blade's still on my wrist, Eddie. He had busted me open twice with the title belt. He goes, okay, good. He goes, good. He goes,
sorry, essay, and let's go.
It's the old, good for business, good for business.
I thought we were going to have a 911 squad come and get both of you guys.
Yeah, looking back, it's a wonder. It's a wonder we finished. We were young.
Eddie could barely make it into the dressing room. We had to be carried into the dressing room.
That's right, yeah. They ended up taking him to the hospital. And here Foley is, the death match king.
There's that white t-shirt thing again. You know, you wear that white t-shirt when there's a lot of juice.
That's right. You always figure out a way to wear white. You never wear black.
There's a feeling deep in my stomach, because I was happy in the United States. I was happy there until Terry Funk signed with IWA. Terry Funk signed with IWA. The Japanese press has called me the American Onita for the past 5 years. and that's great. But when Terry Funk came to the IWA, I didn't see a chance to make money. I saw a chance to finally sleep at night. Because the name Terry Funk has ate away in my guts for the last 3 years, because no matter how good I was, no matter how dangerous I was, Tiger.
That's right.
I knew in my heart I'd never beaten Terry Funk. And in my heart, I didn't know if I could. It was a quest. And now, with my body battered, at last maybe I can find peace, Tiger. Because I've beaten Terry Funk. I've beaten Terry Funk.
There'll be many, many more times, you know. This is not the only one, you know. There'll be many, many more times.
King of the death match. I don't feel like a king. I felt like shaking Terry Funk's hand. He walked up to me. He was hurt. Well, so am I, Terry.
It's a heck of a promo.
And a good promo, and it tells the story on what made this house draw. It was that competition. It was that ego that Mick had and Terry had, wanting to be the best hardcore. And every place that Mick would go, they would compare him with Terry Funk, you know, the actual king of hardcore. That's what Mick always wanted to be, with king of hardcore. So he had to go through his idol, had to go through the absolute best. No matter what you think of this type of match, you got to look at these two competitors and think, these are the two greatest hardcore guys of all time. I don't care who you throw.
That's right.
These are the two absolute best hardcore guys of all time.
Yeah, and you look at Terry Funk. I mean, this is 20 years after he won the NWA title. And he's still the guy that if you want to be the man, you had to beat. You know, Foley wants to be the man. He realizes he's got to beat Terry Funk. And this is 20 years after he held the NWA title. What a run.
That's absolutely amazing. And I didn't even think of it that way. 22 decades, man, that you know, this guy has been on top of his game. And at that point of his career, I mean, 20 years after he was number one in the world, 20 years after, they still look at him as the best. And you go to Japan today and ask the Japanese people who's the greatest hardcore champion of all time, and they're going to tell you Terry Funk to this day.
I'll tell you one quick story. We were wrestling in Austin, Texas, and I understand the Irwin Center now, I think they're closing it now. I think they just had the last basketball game recently. And I'll go out in the Irwin Center in University of Texas, Austin, capital of the state, and the place goes banana. As Pat said, the place goes banana. And I thought, man, I'm getting over. And I'm sitting there, and for a second, I really thought it was me. And then I realized I'm here with Terry Funk. And I'd walked out with Terry, we're tagging that night, and Terry's over on the side, he's waving that towel. Yeah. And so just to make sure it was Terry, I just walked to the ring real quietly, and nobody even noticed. I get in the ring, Terry's still waving the towel. People are going crazy. Not a soul in that building knows I'm there. But for a second, I thought, man, I'm getting over.
It felt good, huh?
It felt great.
Well, folks, there you go. The faces of Terry Funk. You know, I hope everybody enjoyed this little series. And, you know, there's a few other series that we want to get to. But we try to give our perspective. And, you know, we try to be honest with you. That was no match that you could ride home about, except for its value, historical value of being two of the best hardcore guys. So take it for what it is. You know, we thought you'd enjoy it, having two of the greatest of all time on the show here today. So thank you, Josh. We got more coming up though, right?
We got a lot more coming up. We're going to go through some of Vader's history. We got looking up all kinds of different matches, the Tupelo concession brawl we got on tap. We got the Freebirds, Von Erichs. We got so many different matches. I mean, this business, as you know, Mr. Briscoe, loaded with great iconic moments. And this is one of those moments. You know, this was a match that's called the greatest death match of all time, and the two greatest hardcore guys, certainly of all time.
And when you mentioned, I know you get excited when we talk about the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. That's kind of what inspired you to take the path, career path that you eventually ended up taking there. So it's got to be a thrill for you to go back and review this stuff.
It sure is. I remember being in the ring in Dallas and is past the heyday of 84, 85 when those guys were selling out, you know, Texas Stadium, putting 40,000 people in at least. And I got to be in the ring when the Von Erichs made their entrance. I got to go to the ring and tag with Kerry and Kevin. And that was just the dream come true from a kid who idolized both these two groups and became friends with all of them later. And those guys are as good a guys as you would imagine. They say sometimes don't meet your heroes. I met my heroes and they became bigger heroes. That's what I think of Michael Hayes and Terry Garvin and Jimmy Garvin and Kevin Von Erich and Kerry. They were as big as I thought they were and even better in life.
Well, man, you got that, Rob. You got the big, big applause there in Austin at the Frank Irwin Center with King of Hardcore Terry Funk. But then you were in the middle of the ring with Von Erichs. You had to be getting a hell of applause then. And did you know at least then they were cheering for the Von Erichs?
There's no doubt about it. We came out to Iron Man. I was with Kerry and came out with Iron Man. And I could have been a security guard for all that I was noticed. Those people loved Kerry Von Erich. And sitting in the ring when the Freebirds came down to fight us, and that place was just, I can feel it to this day how great it was. The ovation, you know, you rarely, you know, you remember stuff like that. I remember when Kane one time in Tallahassee, just on a house show, came out one time and the place went ballistic. And I remember Lanza turns around and goes, kid's over. Yeah. You know, there's some things that happened that you just remember like it was yesterday. And that was one of those things. So thank you very much for joining us. I hope you're enjoying our Best of the Best series. This was the hardcore final of the Deathmatch Tournament 1995, one of the most iconic matches of all time, called the greatest deathmatch of all time for the WWE Hall of Famer and Oklahoma's favorite son and my pal, Mr. Briscoe. I'm Bradshaw. Thanks for joining us.